It's a calling to triumph. Amen. It's a calling to victory. It's a calling upward in the sense of the Lord is calling us. He's not. It's not speaking of the rapture. It's the upward calling of the Lord calling our attention to heaven so that we can see change upon the earth. How many know we need that? Paul said it this way. He said, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. He said, I press toward the goal of the prize. Everybody say the prize. Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So it's a focus. It's an understanding and a mindset in the spirit that we have to have. Otherwise, we will be overwhelmed by what we see around us. We'll lose hope for our generation. We'll lose hope for our city. We'll lose hope for our family. We'll lose hope for a lot of things if we don't answer the upward calling. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to talk to you about that calling today. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, for the Lord has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, we know that the congregation of the church is what? The body of Christ. Amen? He is the head. We're a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We're a spiritual house that's been fitted together. We're a holy priesthood, and we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices of praise. And actually, each believer individually, if you're redeemed of the Lord, you're meant to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we do come together, but we also understand that when we leave here, if you're redeemed of the Lord and the Holy Spirit has filled you, guess what? You have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't switch off at noon on Sunday. Amen? Hallelujah. The congregation, that's what it is. Now, what I want to show you is from a passage that we use a lot in stirring people up for prayer and things like that. But it's found in 2 Chronicles 7. You know the verse. But before we read the verse, I just want to set it up for you. There's an Old Testament temple, right? And it was literally a physical place that they went to worship. In the beginning, Solomon oversaw the construction of this temple. And he put the furnishings in exactly as the Lord had shown that it would be done. He brought the Ark of the Lord into the temple. And as they worship before the Lord, the Bible says they were worshiping with instruments and with one voice. Everybody say one voice. And they were saying, the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. That was it, beloved. They didn't even have to have words on a screen. Everybody could get that. Amen. The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. And the glory cloud of the Lord came into the temple. And it was so thick and so powerful, it said not one person got up to even minister. Even the priest couldn't come in because of the glory cloud of God. Well, but God wasn't done. Later on, Solomon began to dedicate the temple, and he prayed a powerful prayer. Again, I'm not going to put this one up on the screen. I want to read it to you. This is what he prayed. Oh, Lord, I pray. Get this now. Let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer. Everybody say to the prayer that's offered in this place. Now, how many of you would want to know that whenever we gather and we pray and we worship, that we would want to know that Lord was attentive to what we're doing? Hello. Otherwise, we're just doing religious things. But he said, and so he prayed that you would be attentive to that prayer. And he said, now therefore arise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You and the ark of your might, let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your godly ones rejoice in what is good. Do not turn away the face of your anointed, and remember your loving kindness. Now, when Solomon finished praying this prayer, fire came down from heaven. And the fire consumed the sacrifice that was on the offering, the burnt offering, and the glory of the Lord again filled the house of God. I don't know about you guys, but God intends wherever it's his temple or his vessel, he intends for glory to be on it. Amen? That ought to bring you great joy. What does the scripture tell us? Christ in you and in me is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Amen? I mean, a lot of believers don't walk with that awareness. I don't walk with it enough like I want to. Anybody with me? I want to be able to walk in it 24/7. Now, go with me to 2 Chronicles 7. Go with me to verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, by the way, before I read this, I don't know about you, but I would have just been satisfied with the glory cloud, the fire coming down to the altar, and the next glory cloud coming in. I would have been pretty content. This has been a good day in the house of the Lord. Y'all with me? Are y'all with me? And yet the Lord still speaks to him in the night. Look what he says. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as what? Y'all say it with me. A house of sacrifice. Now, stop for a moment. What are you and I called? We are living sacrifice. Amen? We're God's house. We're a living sacrifice. And by the way, we've been chosen too. Not only did he choose that temple, but he's chosen us to be his temple, his living sacrifice. Now, let's keep reading. And he said, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and if my people, say my people, the praise team was leading us into this today. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and what else? Turn from their wicked ways, then, everybody say, then, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes, keep reading, most people don't go any further. Look, this is very important. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now this is the Lord speaking to Solomon. Are you with me? For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name be there, say it, forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there, say it, perpetually. Until that physical temple was torn down, and it did, as Jesus prophesied. Not one stone was left upon another. It was torn down, and then the temple of God truly came up in the earth. Are you with me? But what I want you to understand, two things. Number one, God's eyes are perpetually toward his temple. Isn't that good? It's good to know. Now, whether or not we're offering up the right sacrifice or not is another thing. But his eyes are perpetually upon us. The second thing is this. It's the consecrated prayers that they would offer that would be the answer to bring healing to their nation. Do you see that? See, we want everybody else to change. And God says, no, I need my people who are called by my name to get it right. And when that happens, there's healing that comes to the land. Anybody think that we need some healing in America? Anybody with me? When there was a time of drought, or when there was locusts that had come in, or there was some kind of a plague or a pandemic, fill in the blank, some kind of hardship or time of trouble. Now, sometimes times of trouble were actually allowed by God. They were a type of judgment that came upon the land, obviously. But many times those things happened because we live in a broken, dark, fallen world. Amen? And to try to get into figuring out whether or not God allowed it or God sent it or whatever is not the point. God's saying, what you need to do is my people who are called by my name is humble yourself and get before me because you're the answer to releasing the ultimate answer. Are y'all with me? This is very important we get this. His eyes are open and attentive to what's going on in the temple. So what would happen if the temple is silent? Nothing would happen. Nothing would change. Amen? How many know a lot of times something happens and we go through something and the way we pray is not even in faith. It's more weeping and crying and wailing, oh God, oh God. And that's the difference between being humble. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'll address that in just a moment. I got to be careful here. Here's my point, beloved. We too have been chosen and consecrated to be his spiritual house. Do we agree? I could give you scripture after scripture that says we're the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And we're to offer up praise to him as well as our prayers of intercession, obviously. Interestingly, the early church understood this, and guess what? They experienced fire coming from heaven. They experienced buildings shaking. They experienced thousands coming into the kingdom. And can I tell you, there's portals starting to open in the earth. A lot of the praise gatherings that are going on out in the open, and there's some radical things happening, and people are getting saved. And I saw Sean Foyt's video from the other day, and people with deaf ears were popping open. They were having a healing revival, and it's just amazing what's going on in the earth. I'm excited because, see, God's eyes are still perpetually toward that type of ministry. And just as in the Old Testament, it is our prayer and our worship that brings two things. Number one, our prayer and our worship brings revival and renewal to the church, to the people of God. I mean, we need to be revived. We say, oh, but God revived the land. We need to be revived. Hallelujah. We need to be infused with life again. Hallelujah. We need the refreshing. But the second thing is that is what leads to the healing of the nation. Everybody get the pattern. It's really that simple. Again, let's look at the part of the word that we know clearly. If my people who are called by my name. And the only thing I want you to mainly get there, I don't doubt that any of you in here know that you're the people of God. That's not a point. Are people listening online with us today? But I want to say to you today, what I want you to understand is you're called. If you say you're the people of God, you're called. Say, I'm called. And that is an appointment to the priestly ministry. It's the upward call. You may feel sent to the nations, and that's wonderful, but your first calling is upward. Amen? That's where the power comes in to whatever God would call you and I to do. Somebody say amen. We must understand that our priestly ministry under the Lord is our primary calling. If we don't get that right, the other things don't fall in place. Amen? The second part is what? Humble themselves and what? Pray and what? Seek his face. All right, let's break that down. Being humiliated by your circumstances is not being humble. Y'all get what I said? Just being humiliated doesn't mean you're being humble, because humbling yourself is a choice of posture before God, right? Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I come before you because I don't have the answers. Amen? I'm not enough unless you come. Amen? And what we're singing? We're not enough. Until you come to that realization and you humble yourself before the Lord, there's no answers. Are y'all with me? It's a chosen posture. Secondly, though, pray. It doesn't please God when we don't pray. We just sit and like, okay, God, I'm here. Pray. He wants you to decide on a matter. Amen? He wants you to decree a thing. He wants you to believe him and take him at his word. Hey, come on. I know Marvin agrees with me. Do any of you out there agree with me? Hallelujah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, Jesus said, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. He wants us to pray. I mean, what a promise. Hallelujah. But then he also says, seek my face. And how many know that's worship? That's worshiping God. Amen. And beloved, I love songs, but it's more than a song. Amen. Come on. It's more than a song. It's a posture of gazing upon the glory of the Lord. It's to seek the help of his presence. It's to seek out his will on the matter. Amen? It's the upward call of worship. David said in Psalm 27, he said, there's one thing that I desire and I shall seek, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty and glory of the Lord. And later on that same psalm, he said, when your spirit said, seek my face, my heart said to you, O Lord, your face I will seek. Amen? Let's say that together. Your face I will seek. Hallelujah. I know I've referenced Psalm 2 many times over the last few weeks, because this psalm so speaks to what we're going through today, where you see rulers and the earth and all that take their stand against the Lord and against the anointed of God. But we know that God sits in the heavens and he scoffs. He laughs at them. Amen? God just kind of like, ha! Amen? But he will one day terrify them in his fury. We got to understand that. He's still God. He's still holy. He's still just. Amen? How many know we could use a nice big dose of the fear of the Lord? Amen? And it needs to begin in the house of the Lord. The understanding that it is who he is. And so as we're going on, he said, I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said unto me, today you are my son. I have begotten you. Ask of me. And I will give you what? The nations as your inheritance. And the very ends of the earth as your inheritance. And then toward the end of that psalm, they gives him a final instruction to all the rulers and leaders especially. And it's found in Psalm 10, verse 10. I'm sorry, Psalm 2, verse number 10. Look there at the end of that psalm. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. This is a major heads up from God. Would you agree? Amen. Worship the Lord with what? Reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage. The King James says, kiss the Son. Amen. How many know that's affectionate worship and adoration? Would you agree? That he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath will soon be kindled. And how blessed are those who take what? Refuge in him. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm sure there's more to come. Stay tuned on planet Earth. Are you with me? But blessed are those who take refuge in him. Beloved, there is no safer place to be than bow down and worship before the Lamb. Amen? There's no safer place to be. I mean, we talk about safe places. Well, that's Jesus. He's your safe place. He's your refuge. It's actually the meaning of shalom, the peace of God. Hallelujah. How many are glad for that safe place? Hallelujah. Because there's times, I don't find peace watching CNN or Fox or anybody else. Amen? Don't find a lot of peace there. That's not a safe place. Again, our calling as the people of God who are called by his name is to humble ourselves in prayer and in worship and seek his face. Do we all agree with that so far? But we're also instructed to turn from our wicked ways. Now, most people, when they think of wicked, they think immediately, you know, stop lying and stop stealing and stop committing adultery. And certainly that's wicked ways. But can I tell you, it's a lot deeper than that. Because again, he's speaking to his people who are called by his name. And it's a repentance, hear my heart, it's a repentance from our ways. Are y'all with me? It's referring to the way you and I are living our life and what we're living for. It's about focus. It's about priorities. What are we supposed to seek first, by the way? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? That's first and foremost. He's to be preeminent in everything. And so this is what God's calling us to do. I know I've used this verse a lot the last few weeks, but we're going to look at it again. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Look there with me. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever wishes to save his life will what? Will lose it. But whoever, get this, loses his life for what? My sake and the gospel's will save it. How many of you know when it's all said and done, that's really all that matters? Hello? When it's all said and done, nothing else matters. But that we gave our life. We're warned in Galatians, what? Don't sow your life into corruptible things. Because they don't last. They fade away. Sow your life into eternal things. Hallelujah. The everlasting things of God. Jesus goes on to say, as we know in verse 36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I mean, no, that's why, let's be honest, that's why a lot of incredibly wealthy and rich people, there's scenes of them weeping in heaven because it meant nothing when you stand before the King of Glory. Amen? Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer that we're to receive forgiveness for our sins. This is one of those ways of the Lord that I think, in all honesty, in all my years of pastoring especially, and in my own personal life, my own personal struggles from time to time where I get off of his way, it's almost always in the area of forgiveness or unforgiveness and whether I did it or not. Would y'all agree with me? That's usually, it's, it has to do with relationships with others in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ, in our family and outside of our family. It's a huge issue that probably needs to be dealt with more than anything. Now, we know in the Lord's Prayer, we're to receive forgiveness of our sins, but we're also to forgive as we've been forgiven. Amen? And there's many teachings that Jesus gave on this. And here's the problem. When we don't deal with offense, bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness, it wreaks havoc in our lives. And we're not able to be that people that are called. We've left the way. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Jesus said this. He said, if we will forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven them. But if we retain those sins against them, they'll be retained. Do you realize the power of that verse? Because he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he gave them an authority. And I don't know that we fully understand it. I'm praying into it all the more. But here's the thing I would say. Not being willing to forgive. Now, we already know in one of the parables that not being willing to forgive is an open door for the enemy to torment us. Right? It can open you up to torment. How many of you have ever not forgiven for a season and the enemy ate your lunch? I mean, come on. We've all been there, right? It's an open door. Yeah. Ate my lunch and popped the bag. Hallelujah. But it also greatly, here's what I want us to get. And maybe we need some fear of the Lord on this. It greatly impacts the person we're not forgiving. It greatly impacts them more than you would think. Again, we have a powerful privilege and position of authority as the people of God. Do we agree? He never said, if I can get a group of people. He said, no, when my people step into this. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. I think if we understood it more, we would be more willing to align ourselves with Jesus, who forever lives to do what? Intercede. The place that he is in at the right hand of the Father is intercession. He's already paid the price for freedom, forgiveness, healing. Would you agree? He's already paid the penalty, and yet he sits in that place at the right hand, and you and I are seated with him. And in that place, when you and I pray, we have to pray with a heart of forgiveness and release and intercession. Would you agree? It's the heart of our Lord. Amen? You remember, we looked at a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, I don't remember. But you remember when Joshua and Caleb stood before the other people of the Lord and the other 10 spies, and they gave their report. The people had already believed the evil report. And you remember, they were going to take up stones and literally kill Joshua and Caleb because they believed God would give them the promised land. But you remember what happened next? You remember the story? The glory of God appeared in the congregation. Can you imagine? If you had been one of those holding a stone, said, let's just take these guys out. They don't agree with us. Hello? There's none of that spirit today in America, is there? No. Huh? Come on. And they took up the stones. You remember what happened? The glory of the Lord. Can you imagine you're holding a stone and all of a sudden God's glory? Well, Moses goes straight into intercession. And Moses begins to pray as Moses did many, many times. Oh, Lord, this people of yours. And he's praying before God. You remember what God said to him? The Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. In other words, Moses, if you hadn't have prayed, toast, lights out. Joshua and Caleb just be standing there with a bunch of bones around them. Think about it. But think about the power of it. Paul refers to it in his apostolic ministry as 2 Corinthians 2. Go there with me. 2 Corinthians 2. Are y'all okay? Everybody all right? Everybody forgive me? All right, good. Hallelujah. You have to. You have to forgive me. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 10. Look at this. But one whom you forgive anything, everybody say anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I've forgiven anything, I did it, what? For your sakes, where? In the presence of Christ. Why? Keep reading. Glad you asked. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. I have looked back in my life, and when I struggled to forgive, or I was too bullheaded to forgive, and I rode that unforgiveness wagon way too long, the enemy schemed against me at every turn. And the minute I finally let it go and got my heart right, the enemy had been neutralized for me. You don't have to shout me down, but Satan will always take advantage of unforgiveness and offense and bitterness. Because you know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to bring you and I into agreement with him, to condemn, right? To align with him. That's what he's always wanting. From the garden, has God not said? He just wants you to agree with him. If he gets you to agree with him, then he usurps your authority. Hello? But who should we align with? Jesus. Which means I'm going to be what? Forgiving. I'm going to pardon others. I'm going to release them from their sins. Amen? Don't be aligned with the accuser. Don't hold grudges. Don't be offended. This is part of that way that I believe the body of Christ, we must understand. We've got to turn to his way in dealing in the body of Christ. Would you agree? All right. I hope so, because I gave you a lot of scriptures. In turning away from our wicked ways, can I say one more thing about that topic? I think another thing that's very, very serious outside of the forgiveness issue is just flat out not recognizing that we've become complacent, lukewarm, apathetic, whatever term you want to use, lethargic. I can't spell half of those, so I won't put them on the screen. But we all know what it means, don't we? To be complacent. Let's not be complacent about our calling, which is to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Amen? Now the best part, then. Everybody say then. God says what? I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Stop right there. How many of you are glad he forgives you of your sins? Hallelujah. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? Our God is what? When we confess our sins, our God is what? Just and true and faithful to what? Not only forgive us of our sins, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about that. You're able to stand before the Lord blameless because of the power of his forgiveness and cleansing. Hallelujah. See, it's being restored again. I love the picture of the prodigal when he came and his father came. You remember? He said, I'm not even worthy to be your son. Can I just be a hired hand? It's better than eating pig slop. Right? And he's sitting there, and his father would have nothing of it. He said, quickly, bring me another robe. We're getting this filthy one off of him. And in a moment of God's grace, he had a robe of righteousness on. Isn't that a powerful picture? That's how God works. Amen? Don't anybody sell you this whole bill of goods about penance. Jesus already paid the price for you to wear the righteous robes. Amen? And then what else will he do when he forgives and cleanses us? He will what? Heal their land. Wow, do we not need healing in the United States of America? How about healing on the Navajo Nation and the Apache Nation? Do we not need some healing? Hallelujah. I will heal their land. Now, this is, of course, speaks first to our cleansing and our revival, right? But then the subsequent result is harvest. It's the healing of the land, the generation. Would you agree we need healing? Because, see, the Lord wants to accomplish a work in our days. And it's our repentance, it's our prayers that brings healing to our land, brings healing to our families, brings healing to our relationships, amen? To our cities, our communities, wherever place where you and I would reside. What I'm asking you today, those of you who are here or watching online, I want to ask you today, join with me and let's commit and consecrate our hearts to being, first and foremost, His house of prayer. Amen? And we do that, again, by bowing our hearts in reverent worship, by praying prayers of faith. You know, I want to pray prayers of faith that excite God, that make God go, whoa, did you hear what he just prayed? Because God's not going to go, oh, don't know if I can deliver on that, because he can do above and beyond all that you and I could ask or think. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's seek his face, amen, and be transformed by his glory. Let's call, Lord, for your will to be done, your kingdom to come, and your will be done here among us as it is in heaven. And of course, let's turn from our wicked ways. And I'll just say this. That wasn't about condemnation. I just want you to be free. I want everybody to be free. I just want to be free. Y'all with me? I want to be free. I've lived enough in bondage and bought religious lies and all that. I just want to be free. And I want to walk in the way of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I want to be able to say I've delighted myself in the Lord. He gave me the desires of my heart. Hallelujah. That's why I'm getting so stirred up about, you know, us reaching the lost and being effective in that, because I'm just starting to get a real desire to see that. I want to see that. I want to just talk about that. We need to pray that. How many want a desire to be in there? Not just because you're praying, because, well, we better pray. After that message, we better pray. Now, I want it to be my desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you. Some of you are going to think this is a little bit of a turn, but it's not. Stay with me. I encourage you to get before the Lord in what the scripture calls the cool of the day. Now, I always thought the cool of the day was like the evening. But really, that's not the cool of the day. The cool of the day is just before dawn. In fact, the Lord would come even in the garden to Adam and Eve and speak to them in the cool of the day. Remember that? And all through the Psalms, the psalmist sings things like this. I will awaken the dawn with my praise. So if I'm going to awaken the dawn, then guess what? I'm up before dawn. Y'all are really shouting me down now. All of you like to sleep in. The psalmists constantly talk about that. David did. I'm up before dawn, awakening the dawn. The angel that wrestled with Jacob, when it was getting ready to be sunrise, he basically said, I got to get out of here. It's time for me to get to business. There's something that goes on in that hour. It's called the fourth watch. And I want to encourage you with something. Not something, you know, because my biggest thing is I am not a morning person. Well, get over it. Be healed. You're a new creation. Hallelujah. Be a morning person. But how about the best example? It says in the scripture, as was Jesus' custom, he would rise early before sunrise and he would go into the garden and pray. He knew. Beloved, there's something to this. Just stay with me. I just want to ask you just to commit this next time of our fasting and prayer. Not just because of election and what's going on in the nation, but to pray. And let's get in the heart of God right in that cool of the day. Amen? Right now, sunrise is around 6 or 6:30. Now, it's tougher in the wintertime. I mean, it's tougher in the summertime when the days are longer because sunrise is really early. But anyway, but there's something special there. Long before the plague, the pandemic, the economic recession, the time of trouble, the time of unrest has come to an end. Having a revival in the church and a spiritual awakening in our nation is still going to be needed. Would you agree? I don't want to be a people that only pray in times of crisis. Right? I don't want this to be, oh yeah, that was the COVID revival. You see what I'm saying? No, not at all. Everybody say, Rick, I love you. That was three of you. The rest of you need to join them. Say, Rick, I love you, and I'm going to hear your heart for the next few minutes. You ready? Political liberalism will not heal the nation. Amen. Neither will political conservatism. Amen. It won't heal the nation. Because the only thing that heals the nation is when God heals the heart of man. Everybody with me on that? So leave your donkey and elephant hats outside. We belong to the Lamb. Amen? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. We need some of those lion hats. Hallelujah. Paul said, amen. Paul says in Acts 13, well, I'm a Tennessee fan, and it's hard for us to pull for them elephants, Alabama. But anyway, because they always beat us. In Acts 13, it's written that Jesus is the only way for forgiveness of sins. Okay? And then it says that in him, you're free from all things that you could never be freed any other way. So how many of you know that's the good news? Can I tell you, the answer is Jesus. Hello? The answer is Jesus. It always has been. Not religion, but Jesus. The purity of Jesus. And the freedom he brings. And I tell you, beloved, he promises to do a work in our days if we will get in position as the people called by his name. And here's the verse, Acts 13, 40. The very next verse says this, therefore take heed so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Now here's the warning. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days. Come on, a work which you scoffers would never believe, though someone should describe it to you. There are going to be people that have prophetically had the intentions of God spoken over them and described to them, but they scoff at it. And they're going to miss it, and I don't want to miss it. Amen? Because of my disappointment or my frustration, I want to be in tune with what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do. He wants to do a work in our days. Hallelujah. Because he's not going to do a work in our days. I want to go home. Anybody with me? We must live our lives for the Jesus' sake and for the sake of his gospel. And can I tell you, we got to keep our prayer and our faith in motion. That's why it says to pray without ceasing. Amen? Let's don't just get riled up at the end of a message. Let's stay plugged in and pressed in. And can I tell you, move in the direction of what you're praying. If we want to start seeing souls being saved, then we've got to lift up our eyes and start to move in the direction of what we're praying. Amen? Reaching out, not only corporately, but individually. The starting point of a move of God is having a devoted, consecrated remnant who ministers unto the Lord. That's the starting point of a move of God. Are you with me? Why? For if my people who are called by my name. That's why. It has to start there. Are you with me? It has to start there. Your prayers and your decrees matter. Remember we looked at the king Hezekiah? Remember what Elijah said to him? I'm sorry, Isaiah said to him. Yeah, Isaiah, I think. One of those prophets said to him, because you have prayed. Remember that? Because you have prayed. Now, here's the part that I asked for forgiveness for 5 or 6 minutes ago. I want to speak to you about the election and voting. As a U.S. citizen, it is your right and your privilege to vote. Y'all shout me down. It's true. It's your right and your privilege to vote, okay? I'm getting ready to put a major spin on this. Are you ready? Are you ready? As a child of the king, you have a kingdom right, privilege, and responsibility to represent the will of God. Do you not? On earth, as it is in heaven. Even doing your work as unto the Lord, right? So should your prayers and your voting be. We talk about what would Jesus do. What is Jesus for? Don't think government's not important. It is. But our hope is not in the government. But if we abandon our responsibility, we're not representing the kingdom well. Are you with me? Stay with me. We should not vote merely according to our family tradition. Okay? That's why I ask everybody to put down your sharp objects and all of that right now. And we shouldn't vote out of just a mere allegiance to a political party. But we should vote frankly for the platform that most aligns with righteousness and justice and truth, amen, and life and the Constitution, amen, and one nation under God. Are y'all with me? And how about this? A platform that is friendly toward Israel. I'm telling you guys, it couldn't be more clear. It didn't used to be this way. I've been voting since 70. I think the first election I voted in was in 78, right about the time I was saved. And I've never seen how black and white it is now. But I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm endorsing Jesus. Amen. We're the party of the Lamb and the Lion. Amen. The Lion and the Lamb. Hallelujah. But as a child of a king, you have a responsibility. Okay, I want to move on. We should not vote merely according to tradition. I said that already. I'm so worked up about sharing that. Also know this. A Marxist leftist ideology of socialism or communism is not biblical. It is not biblical. Amen. Thank you. You know why? No matter how much they dress it up, they ignore God. They never will acknowledge God. That's the biggest thing I look for. I'm all about helping people, but I'm telling you, we got to be really, really careful. If you'll notice, they want all references to God removed. Are you with me? From government and society. And if you really understand the Founding Fathers' documents, you understand that was never the intent. And they also want to erase and rewrite history, because that way they can tell you what history was or is. And can I say this to you, because this really irritates me as a minister of the gospel. Don't allow people who don't know the Word of God, who don't have an understanding of the Word of God, which can really only happen by the anointing of the Holy Spirit who inspired this Word. Are you with me? Don't allow them to try to tell you that these ideologies align with Jesus. I've heard people say that. And they'll cherry pick a verse and say, well, that goes to show right there. Political ideologies being presented like that could fundamentally change America, and we need to be careful and vote accordingly. You still my friends? Okay. Because freedom as we know it could be lost. As they say, no matter how you dress it up. Are you with me? Here's a Southernism. Are you ready? You could put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. You didn't know that, Virgil? You're thinking about somebody you dated in high school right now. Beloved, do your homework. Do your research, but pray. And when you go into the voting booth, pray. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen? Please. And I'm not over-spiritualizing it, but everything is spiritual. It's the realm that's above the natural realm. And we need to, can I tell you this? We need to pray for integrity in the elections. I don't know how much is being hyped about voter fraud. But you know what? I'm just praying that God's will be done, and that here's the way I like to pray. You say, what do you do? Well, I have found it's better to pray, Lord, let your light expose any darkness, any deception, any lies. Let it just get exposed. If you notice, things are getting exposed. We need to keep praying that way. And I highly recommend you, if I could give you a non-spiritual exhortation, you need to vote in person if at all possible. Yeah. Vote in person if at all possible. Okay? We should also pray for protection for all that are running for office or in office. Should we not? We should pray for them. Here's my reasoning in that. Any type of violence or, heaven forbid, assassination attempt or anything like that on any leader on either side of the aisle is horrible for the country. It always has been, and it always will be, because it's the spirit of hatred and murder. Are you with me? And that we need to pray against. Amen? Yes. That does not take place. I don't want anybody that I would consider my political enemy to be killed either. Are you with me? And if they really got elected, then let them have the seat. They want it fair and square. Hello? Yeah. Phew. Haven't endorsed anybody yet. But the righteous need to vote. And most importantly, pray. Hello? That's been my whole point of my message, is to pray. But let's not pray and then sit home and not cast our vote. Let's decide that in all that we do, when we're speaking and interacting with others, that we're going to walk in love. Say, walk in love. And we're always going to bless and never curse. Even those who would curse us, we won't curse them in return. I mean, we got to learn to do that. Amen? How many know you can only do that by the Spirit? Hallelujah. Because Rick Bennett was, well, never mind. We won't talk about that guy. He's dead. He's called and chosen. One last verse I want to share with you that you know, but I want to read it to you before we pray. It's found in John 15. You're aware of it. The first verses of John 15, Jesus is talking about how we're like branches in a vine and he's the vine. And if we stay connected with him, we'll be fruitful. We all know that context, right? But you start to realize one of the ways we abide in him is by abiding in his word and in prayer. That's how you abide in him. And I want to show you this because I want to respectfully say most people, when you start talking about prayer, they kind of like, they won't do it openly, but kind of like in their heart, they roll their eyes because they don't see the joy or the fulfillment in prayer, or it could be the disappointment of a lot of praying and nothing happening. And can I tell you what? I've experienced all of those emotions and all of those experiences. Have you not? But I've also experienced the thrill of victory. Amen. I've experienced the thrill of victory and the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. So that's what I wanted to leave you with and bless you with as we move from here today. Amen. Because guys, beloved, I don't know what's going to happen when it comes to the election and the future of our country and the Senate and the House and all that's going to happen in the days and weeks and months to come. But I do know this. It does not change what my posture is before God. And regardless of how bad or good we think it's going to get, we still, his people called by his name, have to take and step into our chosen and appointed place. John 15, ready? Verse 7. If you abide in me, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Amen. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How many of you know when no prayers ever get answered, that does not glorify the Father? Hello? A church that's just religious and nothing ever happens and nothing ever changes, that doesn't move the heart of God. If anything, it can cause people to disdain his name. Do y'all see that? Where did I stop? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide, everybody say abide, in my love. If you keep my commandments. Now, how many know that's out of worship, not out of religious dogma? That's out of worship, a heart of worship. You will what? Abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How many of you were abiding in his love today during worship? Man, sometimes the psalmists were releasing stuff over us, and it was just God loving on me and loving on you. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Abide in that love. Abide in his presence. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, now get this now, I have spoken to you. Say it with me out loud. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Hallelujah. If we all get this, we won't have room for prayer meetings. There'd be too many people wanting to come pray. We could use some joy. And the Lord said, well, get in my presence. I don't know if that's exactly how he sounds, but he has to yell at me sometime. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Now stay tuned. You are my friends if what? If you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves. Do you see that, guys? For the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things, everybody say all things, that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So a lot of prayer is actually him downloading to us revelation. Amen? It's not just us asking and making our request and walking away. It's us communing with the Spirit of God. And he said, now look, guys, when he says that we're like friends with him, he does not mean that he's no longer Lord. That doesn't change our posture in reverent worship. Amen? He is still God, the Almighty. But what he's saying is, I don't want you to serve me like a slave. Because a slave just does what he's told, but he doesn't do it from his heart. He does it out of fear, and he does it out of, you know, the fear of retribution. If he doesn't do what he's commanded to do, he said, but you will serve me. Paul used this language as a bond servant. That was one who would commit their lives to live as a slave to Christ, but it was done out of a bond of love. Does that make sense? So the friendship there is the Lord wants us to know. How many want to enter into that dynamic that we're praying and we're asking and receiving in prayer to such a degree that we're on the download of what God's doing? Are y'all with me? I really want that. Like never before. And finally, where did I stop? 15? Yeah, go to 16 now. We're almost done. You did not choose me. Here it is. But I chose. How many of you always felt like you chose God? You got saved. No, you didn't. You thought you did. But he chose you. Amen? And he what? Appointed you. Say appointed. That you would go and bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain. How many want to see some fruit that remains? And here it is. He defines it right there. Let's read it together. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. That's the fruitfulness. Anybody want a fruitful prayer life? All of you online, shout. He wants us to have a fruitful prayer life. Amen. Hallelujah. Our devotion to this prayer, our devotion to the presence of God and walking in his love will result in his joy being made full in us. I've known the joy of the Lord, but I want to know it to overflowing. Anybody with me? Because when God does full, God doesn't stop. Like, you know, when a waiter's pouring it in your glass, you're like, oh, no, that's enough. God just keeps pouring. That's what he calls full. Amen? Amen. Overflowing. Hallelujah. Remember when Jesus stood outside the temple and he had just cleared the temple? And all the children are singing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And all the religious are really torqued and upset because Jesus just had a healing service in the midst of all this chaos. I love that. Right in the midst of all the chaos, all the linemen, lame and sick came to him and he healed them with tables laid on the floor and people cursing at him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And Jesus defended their praise. You remember that? He said, my Father's house will be what? What? A house of prayer for all nations. And he's quoting a verse. It's, if you look at it later, we don't have it to put on the screen today. It's Isaiah 56:7. And here's the verse. Those I bring to my holy mountain, I will make joyful in my house of prayer. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Isn't that awesome? That's where the joy is. The joy is actually in the intercession. Hallelujah. He's called us and chosen us and appointed us to be fruitful in prayer. And I just want you to get that into your heart. Amen? But much like that physical temple in the old covenant, we have to decide to be his living temple. Amen? The temple of the Holy Spirit and devoted. Another verse we know well is found also in Chronicles. And it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. You remember it? For the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro throughout the earth. Do y'all remember the old, it's like God is scanning the globe, looking for houses of prayer. His eyes are perpetually toward those who are praying, who are in that position. Y'all remember the old ABC Wide World of Sports? Thank you, Marvin. Anybody younger than Marvin and I guess not. Yeah. But they used to say, remember, scanning the globe, you know, to find the latest sports thing to bring on the air. And wow. Somebody YouTube that this afternoon so you get a good chuckle. I'm not making it up. But can I tell you, God's eyes are moving. Does anybody want to be a people that he stops at your house? That his eyes go, whoa, I'm attentive to the prayers and the worship that come up from the Bennett house and from the Weaver house. Oh, yeah, Jocelyn's little apartment. Yeah. The prayers that rise up over there. Yep, Jennifer's house, even with those people above you. How about your townhouse in Tempe? Amen. I think God's eyes don't go over Tempe. Amen. Are y'all with me? Lift your hands to heaven. Guys, could you come up and just lead us in a song to close with? Let's lift your hands to heaven if you would right now. Father, I pray. Those of you at home, please do the same. Lord, we just commit our hearts to you right now as worshipers to commune with you, to understand that we are chosen and you've appointed us to this ministry, the upward call. And Lord, I want to go all the way back to what you spoke to me before communion today. By your broken body, we have become your body on the earth. And receive that revelation this morning, beloved. By the broken body of Jesus, you and I have become his functioning body upon the earth. Are you grateful? Thank you, Lord. And the more we come together, and the more we pray together, the more we worship together, it releases healing into the land. And by his shed blood, he's now purchased us to become his temple, his royal priesthood of the highest order. Lord, we set our hearts today to prayer, to worship, to seeking your face. But also, Lord, I pray, grant us the spirit of repentance. Grant us the grace to repent, to turn from any way in our lives that's not your way, any way that's wicked, wrong, in error, but that we would turn to you, Lord. That you would be our focus and our priorities and what we live for. Grant us the grace to do that, Lord, to not just pray a prayer and receive forgiveness, but to walk and bear fruit in keeping with our repentance. I pray, Lord, that we would live our lives, Jesus, for your sake and the gospel's. This would be what we would spend our lives on when it's all said and done. We thank you, Lord. I ask you to put a grace upon each person listening today, Lord, to prepare their hearts, to set their hearts, to get up and pray in the morning, to pray again in the evening, night and day, day and night, and to keep perpetual prayer going throughout the day. Lord, we know there's saints all over this nation that are praying like never before and worshiping. Sometimes in crowds in the open air and other times in the privacy of a prayer closet. But I know people are praying from sea to shining sea in this land. And even around the nations of the earth, Lord. Even in Israel, your people are praying. And we're saying, Lord, let your eyes fall upon us. Let your ears be attentive to our prayer. We set our hearts for such a time as this. And help us to do all that we do for your glory. Save us from all the political arguments, Lord, and help us to be a people that pray from a kingdom perspective. Let an awakening come to the United States of America and to this generation and to all the tribal nations too. Awakening, Lord, that'll pour over the border into Canada and into Mexico and even go to the nations of the earth, Lord. Release your glory in a way, Lord, that will cause men and women to repent. The young and the old, even children, will be compelled to repent so that this land would be healed. For your glory! For your glory, Lord God. You're all we want, Lord. You're all we need because we're not enough. We're not enough without you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalabakata labakasarata. Maranatha. Come, Jesus.
We cry,
Maranatha. never needed.